So students at Mix create their own course mix from the top universities around the world. Not just the Harvards, the Yales, the Princetons. Yes, we do curate from those, but also the University of Sydney, University of London. And that allows us on the ground to focus on what matters in its experience, its exploration.
Wondering if anyone out there is stashing away money for your child's education? Or maybe someone in your life is applying to universities right now. Do you know someone in college or someone who dropped out of college or someone who's trying to find a job after college? Or maybe in retrospect, you wish you would have majored in something different or maybe even learned a trade. Do you ever wonder who thought up this idea that without a university education, you just don't measure up as a human? Well, then this episode is for you. Welcome to the Global Wellness Summit podcast. This is your host, Kim Marshall. You know, a lot of people talk about disrupting industries, but few actually do it. Enter this week's guest, Abby Brody. She's had a pioneering impact on education. First, Abby was a founding member of Avenues, the World School, which shook up the way education was delivered in private schools, breaking through geographic boundaries and producing global citizens. Next, Abby founded Mind the Gap, an organization that studied why higher education was largely failing its students. She's had many aha moments along the way, which she'll talk about today, and one was discovering that the traditional model for delivering college education wasn't working and needed a fresh approach. So was born The Mix, Abby's unique way to look at the use of location, space, resources, and yes, wellness in the world of higher education, which you'll hear all about in this episode. And maybe you've also heard that the Global Wellness Summit has an annual Shark Tank of Wellness student competition. It rewards students for their most innovative, impactful ideas for the wellness industry. That's just one of the ways we try to focus on the next generation and work to help shape the world and support their well-being. And that's why I wanted to talk to Abby, since let's face it, if the crucial phase of life where you decide what you'll do with the rest of your life doesn't serve its purpose, well, that's the opposite of wellness. Stay with us as we get into the mix with Abby Brody, who was such a hit at the GWI Wellness Real Estate Symposium in New York that she was also on the agenda at GWS Boston in December. And it turns out she was one of the most animated and fun to listen to guests we've ever had in the podcast, too. Join me as we find out what Abby and her colleagues think the world of higher education needs right now. We are, I'm Kim Marshall, the host of Global Wellness Summit podcast and the founder of Swell the Agency. And I'm here with Abby Brody, the founder and CEO of The Mix. Okay, she's going to tell us what that is. But remember, before we go on, just to set the stage, Abby's a lifetime educator with over 15 years experience in the classroom, 12 years in administration. She earned her BA at Duke, underachiever, and MS in special education from Bank Street College. Wait till you hear what Abby is doing to disrupt education. Buckle your seatbelt. Abby, welcome.
Thank you for having me. And yes, we are disrupting education. And yes, there is a real estate tie here. I promise you that. So Mix is the first holistic rethink of a failed system, which is our higher education system. From our research, only 14% of those who enter higher ed are successfully served. So I just want to explain what that means before we go forward.
Yeah.
So of all the students that go into higher education, 49% will not graduate. Right? They just don't graduate. By our own self-grading system, as teachers, that's an F.
That's terrible.
And mind you that of that 49 that never graduate, 70% of them do graduate in some sense with a lot of student debt. They get a parting gift. Mm-hmm. But then of those that do graduate, let's talk about them. 50% of them will walk out with a degree that costs more than its market value. And 73% will never use their degree of study. It is time to rethink higher education. And the time is now because it's ripe for disruption. College has been a bundled product. When you think of what is higher education, there's class, but there's also living, extracurriculars, all the things that
drinking.
Make college. Oh, lots of drinking. And you know what? I'm going to say something out loud that most educators don't. The party has meaning. The party is important. I actually embrace the party.
Do you think it's like toddler play?
I think it's the way you push boundaries and you learn. You throw up in the bush and then you learn not to throw up in the bush the next night. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. that's the way it works. You get your heart broken. All these things happen in college when you're an independent being away from your parents. So let's talk about how we incubate these humans. This is a huge incubator of our future talent and of our children.
Wait, before you go on, what you told me at lunch today smacked me in the face. You worked before in K to 12,
yes.
right? Mm-hmm. And why do you prefer college? Why is there more potential?
It's not that I prefer college. It's that college needs to be disrupted first for K-12 to make any changes. Because unfortunately, what is the exit point of K-12? Higher education.
Right.
I also wanted to really focus on higher education because that is really where the need is for employers and the future of work. We now know, right, that the class of 2020 will have 11 distinct jobs by the time they're 50.
Damn.
Let that sink in. I mean, I haven't had that experience. I doubt you've had that experience. But what does that mean? Mm. And the fact that we sell a product and a narrative that you spend $200,000 and you're set for life. You're going to get these credentials and you're set for life. And we know for a fact that's no longer the case. These students will need upskilling, rethinking. The jobs that they might end up being don't exist today. So there's no way to educate them.
At lunch today, this is exactly what you're saying. Someone said, skilled graduates are nearly non-existent. What does that mean?
Yeah. So 89% of hiring managers say that their hires out of college are not life work ready, just not ready. It takes between 12 to 18 months on the job to get any output out of that recent hire. But the reasoning is real. There's nothing about a liberal arts education, college as we know it traditionally today, that is actually aligned to work. That's not what they think their job is. Mm. And when college was originally conceptualized, it was for the intellectuals. It partitioned the people in the fields and the people in the house.
Yep.
And you went to become an intellectual, a man, mostly men at that point, who had a pipe and lots of books, right? And this is a way for you to get access to information, right? The world has changed. When you ask students why they're going to college, 92% will say to get a job. But that reality of college and work talking to each other has not happened.
And there's a new phenomenon. We talked about this. My son is 21. He went to 1 year of college. He didn't like school because public schools aren't set up for boys and their habits, and you'll tell us more about that. But he goes, give me work, Ma, and then I'll decide what I want to learn.
Yeah.
Let me find the work I love, which he did. But it was his personality, his connections, and his abilities that connected with an apprenticeship. And it's financial advising. How did that even happen? So I don't want him to skip a leap, but what is your tip for people?
Your son deserves a round of applause, by the way, for being brave enough to do that. Mm-hmm. Because there is this like narrative of what you're supposed to do and this whole FOMO, right? All my friends are at college. I'm supposed to be at college. But we know that 73% of college graduates don't use their degree of study. And what that says to me is no one knows what they want to do.
Never,
most adults
never.
Don't know what they want to do. And never. There's nothing from a K-12 education, which I feel very versed in speaking about, that tells you what it means for a public policy degree and what that means for you. No, there's nothing about K-12 that sets you up to pick a major. And one thing we're really seeing that's really hurtful is when we do interviews with college students, around the end of their sophomore year, you'll ask them about their major and they will tell you that they hate it. And then you say, well, okay, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. It's too late. Because all that time
gross.
And money. Well, they're halfway through. They're going to start again. And there's no place for experimentation. I will say that gap years are gaining traction in this country. We're late to the party. Gap year students outperform their peers.
I feel like it's writing down stats. Everything you're saying. Listeners, are you writing it down because it's too much?
It's true. They're outperformed. They are more likely to get hired. They have stories to tell. And experience really matters. So at the mix, students are
empowered to curate their education, so we leverage online ed. So students at Mix create their own course mix from the top universities around the world, not just the Harvards, the Yales, the Princetons. Yes, we do curate from those, but also the University of Sydney, University of London. And that allows us on the ground to focus on what matters, and its experience, its exploration. So every student at the Mix has their own independent projects, apprenticeship. They're out in the field, in the real world, discovering and using online education. They've only spent $425. And guess what? They took an online course on marketing. They're doing online work on the ground at a Mix location, and they find out they hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Great. That's empowering. We should celebrate that. It's not too late to pivot. In the traditional higher education system, it is too late.
But you encourage pivoting.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You encourage exploring and pivoting.
Tonight, I will be meeting with Mixie. Shout out to Mixie. We actually have a student at the Mix called Mixie, who has found after week 3 of her construction management certification, she wants to go in construction management, that she's not enjoying it. And we are meeting tonight to talk about what that means and find new courses for her instead of continuing down this track, because that is what is supposedly meant for you.
And now a word from our sponsor, the Miskawan Health Group. Now, speaking of feeling that joy, one specialty I read about was all your materials on brain health. You know, it is so complex. Why do you think people should consider keeping their brain healthy? What's the crucial part of that?
Well, that is, I think that is the biggest threat for the future. We are getting older and older, and the brain is not constructed for being older than 60 something. So you have to be very active to find out what can damage the brain. And then you end up again with hormones, extremely important. That is why I'm taking progesterone and testosterone, DHEA, pregnenolone, vitamin D, and all these hormones, because the main thing for these hormones is not sex, it's the brain. And so melatonin is very important. And of course, the right food. We know that too many carbohydrates can damage the brain, create a diabetes type 3, which means an insulin resistance of the brain. And that makes symptoms similar to dementia. Then we have to avoid silent inflammation in the blood vessels, and because that is always a threat for anything, but also for dementia. And so we have we see now a direct connection of certain bacteria in the gut and dementia. And that is so important, the microbiome, because now we can, by PCR tests, we can exactly see which bacteria or parasites or fungi in the gut, and we can treat that properly. And so many things you have to think about. And of course, extremely important for mental health is not to lose your social contacts, meet people, and talk to people. And extremely important is exercise. That is quite simple. Go running. That's extremely good for your brain and for your immune system. And so you have to just be active.
Yeah, take a walk.
Be active. It's not only playing chess or crossword puzzles or something like that. It's much, much more.
Yes, when you read the things that affect the health of the brain, electromagnetic toxins, chemicals, being overweight, smoking, alcohol, inactivity, and it can actually mean brain cell death, and it displays itself in diabetes, mini strokes. So people need to remember that the brain is the control center. So let's give it the love and TLC that it needs.
All right, let's go back to your origin story. You're an educator, born and bred. What made you want to be a teacher? Why?
Oh, that's such a good question. So many reasons. One, I do want to make the world a better place. I know that sounds cheesy, but I do live and breathe it. If you saw me and you knew me more, you would believe it too. But I do actually... I enjoy children. They keep it real.
Yep.
There's nothing better than a group of third graders, they're going to tell you your shoes are ugly. And I like that transparency. And I enjoy the idea of not every day being the same. There's something so incredible about being a teacher. You never sit. It's active and it's holistic and you get so much more out of it. And you know, the one thing that needs to change is the pay.
Let's be honest, is the pay.
We're losing a lot of people because of that.
And the improvement. I just read on some of the problems with public education is that for every $100 the federal government spends on research grants, it spends just 24 cents on improving education.
Yeah. We could go down a rabbit hole on this, but yes, there clearly we have a broken system. And the problem is we keep looking to the institutions to change it, but that's changing. So for a long time, universities had a monopoly on accrediting learning. Like you had to go to us for it to be real. Mm-hmm. That's changing. You got Facebook, you got Google. You have IBM creating their own certification tracks. So they have the same issue. They can't find talent. So what did they do? They created their own content, their own certifications. So for $325, you can get a Google certification in computer science design. And over now 60 organizations and growing recognize that equal to a four-year degree.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's landscape's
changing.
That's disrupting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you helped found what school and what's special about that school?
Yeah. So
Before Mix.
Oh, I helped found a school called Avenues, the World School. It is a private school. And its concept was, let's take the best research out there and really do best practice in learning. So very much in hands-on experiential. The school is phenomenal. They have campuses in New York, Brazil, and China and growing. And you're part of an entire global ecosystem. That said, it is for the wealthy.
Right.
It's $60,000 plus for pre-K and kindergarten.
$60,000. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And rising. So it's not for everyone, but I will say it has an incredible mission to better the world, and hopefully one day I'll get there.
But you also said that still when you work with K to 12, the children are under the decision-making power in the end of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that changes in college. In what kind of ways?
So for the first time in college, these students are tasked with being independent beings. Oh, wow, mom's not going to pick up my socks. Those socks are going to sit on the floor for the next 3 weeks, and they have to live with the consequences of that that normally don't happen. So this is a really exciting time to talk about how we incubate youth. You know, yes, we can create communities and real estate that foster better learning environments in K-12, but higher ed is a real opportunity to rethink, because these kids are making lifetime. They're choosing their path. They're finding their voice. They're choosing their friendships. They're making decisions, all independent of adults for the first time.
So, okay, there you are sitting, helping run a school for the wealthy. You could have gone on forever there. Why? What gave you the balls to say, oh, you know what? Let me invent something totally new and get a team that will help me.
All right, there's two stories, one pretty personal, one just matter of fact that I thought trickle-down education was a real thing. I truly thought at the beginning when starting this really monstrosity, incredible private school education that if we created this and we open source and everything's open source, the world would change. But that's just not how it works. So that was one moment.
Open source means anyone has access to
the
information you're sharing?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah. They don't have the resources or the ability to even utilize that information. So that was a real big, that thesis was wrong, right? I have to rethink that. And then what gave me the guts is truly life's circumstances. My husband and my son were diagnosed each with independent stage 4 rare cancers within 6 months of each other. I lived
what?
2 years of my life at Sloan Memorial Kettering with my youngest son, who just recently has become cancer-free after 2.5-year battle.
How old?
He was 5 when he was diagnosed.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
So I know what real fear looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that me, a K-12 educator, should take on higher ed, a woman too in this space, is absurd thing to say, but I have zero fear. I know what fear looks like. It looks like losing your child, your husband, your life. And it also actually really impacted me, because going through that, all of a sudden, I felt really ill-equipped. My husband does the mortgage, okay? My husband does all of that. And the idea that he wouldn't be around, I felt completely lost. And then all of a sudden, I was thinking, I create education. My expertise is education, but yet I'm lacking real life skills.
Yeah.
So that was one of the other impetuses of creating a new higher education system that taught life skills. So on the ground, we teach kids basic contract law, inspired by the fact that no child can sign their first lease agreement. They're scared of the language, rightfully so. They have no idea how to navigate it. All these things are required of life, but yet not taught anywhere.
But your husband's okay.
Everyone is great. Thank God. Thank the universe. Thank whatever. I am beyond thankful to modern science. And it just actually made me feel emboldened to take this on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you. So how, here you decide, you get this epiphany that you don't know enough. You're very educated, but you don't know enough. And now I'm going to change it. I want other people to be equipped to face the real world when they graduate. How did you pick your team?
Oh, that was the best part, picking the team. So I knew that I needed expertise in higher education. So Dr. Jules Coleman, distinguished educator, most of his career at Yale, but also NYU and dozen other learning institutions, I brought on immediately to bring his expertise on knowing the system very well. Having been the youngest professor ever, he is now 40 years into this career, he has taught at many institutions and knew what was broken from an insider angle.
This distinguished educator was the youngest professor where?
I think it was Berkeley where he started.
Oh my gosh, I can't even remember. Oh my gosh.
He's had the longest career. And then it was very important also to talk about experiential learning. I needed someone who was very devoted to hands-on learning because we knew that these kids were getting the content, the lecture online. They don't need to go sit and pay. They could get it online. But then how do we make learning sticky? They have to apply it. So I brought in this incredible, I would call him the father of experiential learning, David Dunbar. He comes from K-12, but you know, K-12 is a little ahead on this when it comes to like best practices in education. Higher ed, you can imagine, a lot of egos, a lot of tenure, a lot of writing books, a lot of research. They're not truly into the learning aspect. The teaching is kind of a side gig.
Wow.
So when you look for best practices, often you have to look through 12.
Cutting up the fish and shooting off the lava thing, right?
Exactly.
Because you can see it happening.
You can see it live. You experience it all. You know, everyone should take a play from an elementary school classroom. There's a lot to learn there.
So tell me, how did your first job with the Avenue,
Avenues, yeah.
How did that prepare you for this job?
So I have had experience launching campuses worldwide in, you know, taking a model and pushing it into other markets and having a huge team, you know, at Avenues. I had hundreds of faculty, you know.
Wow.
So management experience, seeing a startup. You know, one thing that Avenues taught me was go dream big, dream big. No, it really, without Avenues, I would not be here. I am very thankful for that opportunity to be part of that project.
So speaking of dreaming big, I read online, myx.com.
Yeah, the mix, T-H-E-M-Y-X.com.
.com. That your first location is Miami. Where else do you plan to expand?
So in spring, we'll be in Costa Rica.
Ooh.
Okay. So a question we get often is, why don't you do this in the middle of nowhere, like most colleges are, because the real estate's cheaper.
Yep.
Right? It's a really fair answer. But I am an educator, and our decisions are based on best practice. We know that students who go abroad or take a gap year outperform. Why is that? And we have a famous saying at Mix, you have to be lost to be found. Travel is transformative.
Yes.
It's the time where all of a sudden people are speaking a different language. You don't really feel like,
what's happening
to me? Where's the subway? How do I get to the grocery store? I need a Band-Aid. Where do
I
go?
How do you say bread?
You need to be, you need to be taken out of that comfort zone. And so mixed students have the opportunity of the best of both worlds because they get to travel each semester to a different location to not only reactivate and find their purpose and see different cultures, but also apply their learning and their projects to a different community. So when you leave mix, unlike a traditional education, it's not just a piece of paper. Because what does that mean to a hiring manager? A marketing degree from Syracuse, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So a mixed graduate leaves with the certifications, which might not be a four-year degree. It could get an online degree, but it could be a certification from Facebook, some classes in marketing from Wharton, from Northwestern, whatever it may be. And then they have real work assets to show because that means something to a hiring manager.
Well, I just think that I'd like my kid to go to Costa Rica so that when I visit him, I could get a facelift cheap and then go home. But anyway, that's another problem. Why did you pick Portugal?
Well, so we have a lot of... So the fun thing about the mix in our pioneer class, which is on the ground in Miami, is they're actually going to help decide where we go next.
Oh.
We really want our students to really feel empowered and lead our destination search because every place has value. So Portugal, Greece, we're looking at all of them, but Costa Rica is next.
Oh, that's so exciting. Now, you mentioned in the very beginning the topic of student debt. I read where student debt in the U.S. is now $1.7 trillion. But that's not really all because how about parent debt? It's not student debt. It's also parent
debt. I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
Good for you. No one talks about that.
I'm a parent.
Okay. No one talks. So we talk about debt like this big number. We know it. We understand it. It is double that. And parents are retiring later. Siblings don't have the same educational options as the first one because they're so in debt from the first child. Parent debt is very real. And I'm so glad not anyone ever asked about that. So kudos to you on that. Yes, parent debt is very big. Yes, student debt is the fact that we have student debt. It's, education is supposed to propel you forward, not shackle you.
Oh my God.
Right.
I have a friend who loved entertainment. Her big deal was, you know, the movies. And she's not a director. She could be a producer. She could be a lot of things, but she's a writer. She decided, that's it. I'm going to USC. She told me she has $250,000 in student debt. I was like, you could have bought a half a house. What are you doing?
And this is, so let me give you a story here. If I told you I had a hair product that could make your hair curly, straight, fizzy, frizzy, curls all
long,
the way down,
short.
Long, short, whatever you want. And no matter what you want, it's the same product and the same amount, two squirts. You'd say that's the most ridiculous thing. There's no product that can serve all those purposes. Let's bring that to higher education. We say we have one product. It takes 4 years. And no matter what you want, it's the same price. So why do we have a teacher shortage? Because it makes no sense to become a teacher. You will walk out with a degree that costs more and you will be in debt and making very little money. So I went to Duke, right? All my roommates went to law and finance. Mm-hmm. I had 1/18th the earning potential as them, but yet I paid the same price. That does not work. And 4 years, which by the way, average graduation rate is 6 years. So parents, when you're saving, like you should know that, like please write this down. It's not 4 years when you do that math, it's six. That is an absolute obsolete. We've done a lot of research on it. Why four? It is a just random number that was picked in a discussion back in the 1800s when it was between 3 and 5 and they compromised on 4. It is completely random. There's no scientific learning. There's no research to back up 4 years. And why does it take 4 years to become an anthropologist and 4 years to become a teacher? Is it the same?
What is the...
So that's what we're really passionate about changing. So people at the mix, for example, social media is a really exciting topic that a lot of our students are looking at. You don't need a college degree to become a social media manager. You don't. Hiring managers...
Do you know how much I know that? Yeah. I have a PR and marketing firm. Okay.
And how do you pick people? You want to look at their content, their followers, whatever it may be if you're hiring.
Their understanding of the algorithms.
That's what you're looking for. So for one semester, you could probably get a lot of the skills and if you get experience to be work-life ready.
But, you know, the other issue that no one knows is, you know, I have a dear friend. It's my son's close friend. He's our neighbor. And he's a sort of a whiz kid. You know, he's just sort of way lives online and all that. He got his degree in 3 years. Guess what? Computer science. They're dying for more computer science. What do you call those? Programmers. Mm-hmm. He can't find a job because he has no experience.
Mm, that's really interesting because there is a real lack of engineers in that space.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, the Miskwan Health Group. You know, David, I heard your story on the podcast of having dengue fever a second time, and it correlates with one of the unique offerings of Miskwan. You know, in big cities in the U.S., there's an increasing amount of spas and even salons, studios, where all they do is IV therapies. But when you read the menu, there's probably about 6 different types with cute names of IV therapies you can choose from. But I see on Miskwan's website that you have at least 25 different types of IV therapies. Why do they work and how did it work for you when you had dengue fever?
Well, I think, Kim, that the genius Dr. Wasoli, and he hates me to say this, but Dr. Wasoli has an incredible inherent ability to look at someone and assess their condition, determine which of the diagnostics is needed for that individual, and then once the diagnostics are in, to be able to take the products that we have available to us. And I think there's probably, you know, closer to 50 than 25 of our parenterals, our infusions that we use, and many of them have been developed by Dr. Wesley with our scientists, so they're proprietary to our medical clinics. And so the thing is that the intellectual property we have is not just the product, but it's also the ones that apply to an individual, in what dosage, and also the order of the infusion is important as well. So those infusion clinics, the IV clinics, they're just offering, again, it's like modern medicine, it's just a general product, you know, and it's you don't really know the quality of the product and the things that are going straight into someone's blood. So it better be the absolute top quality, because if it's not, then it's going to damage your body. So we're very, very particular about the source of our supply of our products. Most of them are actually prepared by a laboratory in Germany that Dr. Wesley's been working with for many, many years. And we're so particular about it that we're actually going to be building our own laboratory in Thailand next year to produce these products, so that we have absolutely full control over our supply of these infusions. So I think that it's the signature product that Dr. Wesley has developed over the years. Firstly, if you take something orally, everybody's different again. We never know how that product's going to be assimilated in the gut of that individual. And then if you have something taken intravenously, the doctor knows exactly the dosage is going into the blood, and they know it's gone straight into the blood. So it's much more effective and happens, you know, instantaneously. So I think that's how these products have been developed over the years by Dr. Wesley, and how they're used in a medical way to treat people. And getting back to, again, to what we talked about with the immune system, is that they're mostly designed so that the human immune system is balanced and calm. And, you know, we don't use that word immune boost at all, because, the ultimate impact of a strong boost of the immune system, as we've seen with many of these COVID-19 patients, is the cytokine storm. So you don't want that to happen. You want a calm, balanced, you know, easygoing immune system, not something that's been boosted, right?
So the really exciting story was that you were in Paris on a lovely vacation, and you fell ill. I love that you said, I could tell I was ill because I didn't have an appetite. And automatically, the doctors would just give you antibiotics. And what I love is that you finally said, nothing's working here, a couple of days later. So you called Dr. Wasoli, and he's like, get home. I don't know how you flew. That's sick. So then what happened? Once you made it in your wheelchair through customs, what happened then?
Yeah, well, I was in Paris, as you mentioned, and Dr. Wasoli was in Bangkok at our clinic there. And after, even though a bacterial infection is only 10% of the reason that you'd be sick, two doctors gave me the same thing, antibiotics, paracetamol, and aspirin. And I lost my appetite completely, which is very unusual for me. So I called Dr. Wesley, and he said, you better get back real quick. So my wife and I hopped on a plane. I'm not sure how I got back either. And on the plane, I woke up. I'd gone to the bathroom, and I woke up on the bathroom floor, and I'd obviously passed out. I have no idea how long I was lying there for. And we got to Bangkok, and my wife said, you have to have a wheelchair. And I said, there's no way I'm having a wheelchair. But in the end, I couldn't walk through, because the Bangkok is a big airport. And this was, I was really lucky, because it was December 19, just before COVID started. And, you know, one of my symptoms was, of course, a terrible high fever. If it had been COVID time, I would have died, because I never would have been allowed to travel. And so I got to the clinic, straight to the clinic, and my platelet count, I think, was 22,000 at the time, which would mean that in most hospitals, they'd put you in the ICU. So I started, we didn't know what it was. This was the 23rd of December. Christmas Eve I arrived, the day before Christmas. And Dr. Wesley and our Thai doctors One of our Thai doctors thought it could be dengue fever, but it takes a couple of days to test that. But they knew I was very sick just by looking at me. So I think on the first day, the Christmas Eve, I had about 8 hours of infusions. And again, you know, the doctors realized what kind of infusions I needed to start building up my immune system again to help me support myself. And then, you know, on the first day, by that afternoon, I already started to feel a bit hungry and had something to eat. The next day was Christmas Day. Luckily, in Thailand, it's not a holiday. So I had another 8 hours of infusions. On what we call Boxing Day, December 26th, I was treated, I think, for about 4 or 5 hours. And then by the Friday, 4 days later after I arrived, I was actually going back out to dinner at a restaurant with some friends, including Dr. Wasoli. And my recovery was really rapid. So the treatment for dengue fever typically is you go to a hospital and just go on a saline solution because it's a virus and there's not much you can do other than keep hydrated. But our therapies, the infusions that Dr. Wesley and our other Thai doctors gave me rapidly enhanced my recovery. And, you know, Dr. Wasoli can explain why, but it's a story that I like to say because literally the business that Dr. Wasoli and I started and built saved my own life.
Tell me, what was today's discussion about internships?
Oh, so there was a heated debate. Yeah, no. So experience is the number one. According to parents, students, and employers, experience is the most impactful thing. Mm. Parents want their kids to have experience. And kids, after K-12 education of sitting and regurgitating and doing tests, they want it so badly. Like, I'm an adult now, and here I am again, back in class, starting it all over.
Crazy.
I'm going to write the paper, and I'm going to forget it 1 month later. So experience is, by the way, not only essential to your lifetime success, but actually the only way you learn. You know, passive learning, we know of the lecture, the regurgitation from 1 month from when that person handed in that paper, about 75% of that learning is gone. Never happened.
What?
Yeah, never happened. And that's when I was talking at the symposium. I said, I hope you remember 2% because statistically, maybe you will, but most likely you're going to remember zero of what I had to say today.
But let me tell you, we all talk, it all comes back home. I went to a state school in Maryland. And when I went, there weren't any famous people who went there. So then I moved to LA eventually through life, and I knew some hoity-toities. And this is what the conversation, I promise it's true. He goes, where do you have a degree? He was going to help me get a studio job or something. He's like, where's your degree from? I said, oh, Towson State. And he goes, okay, just take that off your resume. Say you have a degree. And then I find out that Amy Schumer went there. So shut up. But the thing about Towson was they hired real-world people. Like if you were taking communications, a weatherman taught your class, mm-hmm. or a PR professional, or a radio host. And that to me, don't tell me it's from some book. I want to know what you did, which motivated me to start getting published. You know, I already was a writer in college, and I got published before some of my professors did. But guess what? No one taught me. I had an internship at a magazine, the City Magazine. I loved it. I thought, I've hit it. This is my life. This is what I'm going to do. And then at the end of the internship, I thought, they don't like me. They didn't ask me, you know, to stay. So 2 years later, I just was in town and I visited and I told him, oh my God, the editor, I so wanted to work here. And he looked at me and said, why didn't you ask him? I had no idea. That's a life skill.
Oh, completely. So the real life skills that really matter, long-term ROI of college, and I said this and my team gets mad when I say this, but I'm going to say it. Who your roommate's father is more important than what you major. Access, oh, networks. God. Unfortunately, that only happens at certain schools, those access and networks. And that's what we want to bring to the masses because it's a self-fulfilling circle. The same students who get the opportunity to go to those schools get opportunity to the access and they help each other and it just goes round and round and round. No, life skills are super important. We need to teach these kids how to interact, how to listen. And what excites me about what your college experience has is now all students can have that opportunity due to technology. The community college marketing course is not as good as the one from Wharton, where the actual professor from research to, you know, they get the best talent. And MasterClass is a great example. You know, you see it probably on your Facebook thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You too can be taught by Steven Spielberg. Like, wow, that's amazing. Like, don't you want to be taught by Steven Spielberg? That if you're going to film?
I've long been out of college and I still want to be taught by him. Yeah.
Yeah. So these opportunities, access, I mean, I never thought I'd live to see the day where access and quality are going to be solved. This is going to be solved.
So you, one thing I want to ask is you say you think a lot of colleges will fail in the near future. Why?
Well, about 25% are operating at debt right now. You know, they're very much, the government is filling those gaps and keeping them going. We know, though, just by basic economics, we have a supply-demand issue. So by 2026, there will be more colleges. Now, there's about 5,000 higher education learning institutions. I bet you and me together could probably come up with 200, right? If we sat down and like, okay, Syracuse, blah, 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 yeah, right, yeah. 200. There's 5,000 of them.
Wow.
That's not needed. You know, while I say that 50% are going out of business and there's going to be a lot of mergers and acquisitions and all that's already happening, this is a good thing.
Because it's needed.
It's needed.
This was a point that really resonated with the group today at the Global Wellness Institute Real Estate Symposium. How does education affect what we do in the future?
Oh, everything. I mean, you know, we are the world, we are the future. Without our students being prepared for a very different workplace, you know, we will not, as a nation, we will not be creating the talent to continue being a thought leader. We need these students to be ready to tackle some of the biggest challenges that our generations have left for them to solve.
And what do the buildings have to do with it?
Yeah, so the most important piece, I believe, in the unbundling of college, you know, you have content being covered by incredible thought leaders at edX, Coursera, you name it. There's so many that are getting this content out to the masses. But online alone will not solve it. And it makes me so sad to hear that's where all the money and time is being put, because college is a community that serves a huge purpose. One, it keeps our young adults who aren't ready really for the real world to be incubated in a safe environment where they can explore relationships and meet people they never would have met, which is something we're really passionate about, because unfortunately that is not happening in colleges. So the buildings, rethinking, if content is available on YouTube and Coursera and all these things at their fingertips, what is the purpose of education? Is creating communities where they get to access and apply their learning and live in communities that incubate them for a well-being as well. You know, anxiety. So what I shared with the group earlier is it used to be, why did students drop out? Financial. It is now tied with mental health.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And when someone's going to have a breakdown, why does it seem to be, you know, like, not only physically do they change, would you say they're freshman 15 and it keeps
and the sophomore going? 20.
Yeah. And that people sort of let it all go to crap when they're, you know, in the college setting. So then how do they change their life later? Or how do they deal with the stress? Because I remember when I was finishing my degree, I mean, I was my driver of my own desire. I didn't have to do it. My parents didn't make me do it. I was the first person in my whole family, aunts, uncles, nephews, anybody that ever got a degree. So you had to really want it.
Yeah.
I would fall asleep eating popcorn with soy sauce, just chewing, just so I could read my geography test.
Is that a thing, popcorn and soy sauce?
It's so good.
Okay, I'm going to have to try this out.
You have to cook it the right way. But
okay.
All I'm telling you is you had to really want it.
Yeah.
And you had to learn that. Right.
So how we address that is we create a community about learning. So the community of colleges, you go to class, you go to the library, you party, right? Right. Like this is
skip a class.
This is the culture, right? Go to class, right? So that's the culture. Our cultures are all students have their own KPIs. Okay. They walk into the mix and they have a learning, they live in learning cohorts where they hold each other accountable and cheer on each other's success. It really is about creating a community that is based on values of respect, inclusion, love, and growth. We're all here for a reason. We're all here to reach whatever X goal may be. And at MIX, those goals are so diverse. We have students who are getting degrees. We have students who are getting direct-to-work certifications. And we have entrepreneurs. Gen Z is hot
God. I love them.
They're starting businesses while getting some skill sets they need to do it.
What age is Gen Z again?
So, well, it depends on which person you ask, but Gen Z is really like 20 to 7, I mean, it depends on who you ask.
I know.
It really, the whole gender thing, like some people, generation thing, like millennials, some people think are younger than they are. It's complicated. But Gen Z, what differentiates Gen Z from the rest is one, they believe global warming, right? It's like a fact to them. Like this exists. And they believe that their individuality leads.
Well, let me tell you, I have neighbors who have a mixed family of all kinds of kids, and I love them so much, and they come to walk my dogs. They just love my dogs. I have two. And one day they're like, Kim, we'd like to start a dog walking business. I mean, literally, they're from six to 13. And they said, would you mind being our first customer? I said, have you done a market study? Do you know what the going rate is? And what will you charge me? And they said, $2 an hour. And I said, hired.
Done. Done. No market analysis needed. I can't believe you told them that. No, my son, who's seven, has his own business called Rescue One Plus. You'd be very upset if I didn't mention it. Teaching kids how to do CPR.
Oh, I love it.
It's quite adorable.
Tell him I'm so proud. Okay. For those who are listening, I'm like, what is Abby doing? What is happening? What if I want to send my kid to your college? Mm-hmm. How much is it? And how do I find out about it?
So what's exciting about our model is that the educational course mix that we create for you, right? Remember, you curate your education. There's no such thing as requirements. And we're really passionate about that because requirements, whenever anyone drops out of college, it's most likely freshman year. And it's because they don't see the value of like the freshman seminars and all that stuff. We don't believe in that. Learning needs to have meaning. You need to know the why. So you curate your classes that maps directly to what you need. So the cost will vary. But most of them are like $400 for the classes. And you're going to Northwestern. You're going to Princeton. You're going to the top universities around the world.
You're getting online.
You're getting the content online. From all that. Then we are really passionate about matching room and board at normal universities. So $7,500 is average room and board on top of your tuition. Just think about that. Thousands of dollars and then room and board. So our tuition is averages $8,000. But what you get with that is now you're not one of 7,000. You have your own one-on-one personal life coach. You're in a community
Which
of 150.
Which kills me right there.
I know. It's amazing.
Need one. Can I have a life coach?
And why is life coaching not done at this age? And why is it for 40-year-olds? I don't understand this. This is the time where you're trying to find your purpose, who you are, what's your voice. So they get that. They have dinner. We have dinner together where we bring in speakers. We have a huge commitment to wellness. So yoga, breath work, all that programming is free. And you're living not in the middle of Durham, North Carolina. No offense, Duke. No offense, Durham. You're living in real cities with real impact, like Miami, and being able to study the growth culture there.
So if I wanted to go to Mix, wanted to send my kid to Mix, does he go somewhere? Does he come to Miami?
He comes to Miami. He lives with us. He has learning leaders and a group of like-minded individuals, and he's on his personal education plan regarding content that we activate on the ground. So, for example, social media we talked about. We have a student doing social media. A lot of students actually interested in this, and they're doing apprenticeships for small startups and creating social media campaigns. So not only are they learning about social media, they're applying it in a real-world setting to get the experience, to put on their CV, to let them stand out.
And what have you learned so far? You've been doing this how long?
This has been development for 3.5 years, but we just launched our pilot class in Miami. So we're 4 weeks into actual students on the ground. What have we learned? I mean, I could cry. These students... The students that are coming to us are students that either are entrepreneurial or have been burned by the system and want a new experience. And they're saying things like, I can't believe education can be like this. I can't believe someone cares about my well-being. I have friends. I feel like I belong. Belonging is a real issue, I think, and that why these students are having 79.
It's not just an issue for college kids. Mm-hmm. Abby, how did the Global Wellness Summit find you?
An investor at The Mix put us in touch. They were looking for really unique wellness communities. And when I heard about it, I'm like, wow. And what's exciting and what was fun to share with them is there's a huge opportunity in real estate here. One, on both sides of the equation. One, we are going to have huge campuses go bankrupt. What do we do with this real estate? I mean, they're communities. And I have some thoughts on that. Anyone wants to dig in deeper? But then the other part is, with everything going online, where are we going to incubate our children? Where will they live and do this? And rethinking dormitories and all that is a huge opportunity.
And rethinking community.
Mm-hmm. And wellness in that community.
The future of the world depends on this. You have the balls to say, I'm a disruptor. And you have the courage to keep going. So, Abby, we need to keep in touch. We're going to be at themyx.com. Can people email you for more information?
Absolutely. I love talking, especially parents. You know, I understand for parents, kids get this. They're like, absolutely. For parents, it's scary because we all have our own ideas what education should be because we're products of it. Mm-hmm. But that model no longer serves. So yes, Abby, ABBY at themyx, themyx.com.
All right. So we're going to push people your direction. We're going to check on your progress and we're going to look for kids that need that special TLC that comes with experience. And my guess is that's most kids. Cody, our engineer, just had a baby, so he's got a plan for the future. And I don't know, I have a neighborhood full of kids that need a good college experience. So we can't thank you enough for having the courage to change things.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And we'll look for you. What's your podcast?
In the Mix with Abby Brody.
In the Mix with Abby Brody. You want to learn more? Go there. And thanks for taking the time.
Anytime. Thank you.
Well, that's our show for this week. Quite the topic. Lots to think about. Do I agree with every single statistic she shared? Not sure. For one thing, I still remember my college years. Stuff I learned pops up in my inner videos almost every day. But is the college system still working as it was meant to? Is it still practical? From where I sit, it seems Abby is definitely ahead of the curve when it comes to figuring out how it might be done a lot more effectively. And as you could tell, her message kind of hit home with me too. Seems my 21-year-old knew himself a little bit better than I did, figuring out that an apprenticeship in the world of finance worked better than finishing his degree. But wasn't that the point of what Abby was saying? The next generation has lots to teach us if we just listen. If you liked today's episode, and we hope you did, and you know someone who could benefit from the info we shared, please use our easy link to text it to a friend. It's pod.link/GWS. That's pod.link/GWS. And if you'd be kind enough to rate and review us in your podcast app listing, we'd be ever so grateful. Remember, check out globalwellnesssummit.com for the latest on trends, events, and findings in the wide world of wellness. And be sure to make plans to join us for our next summit in Tel Aviv in 2022. This is Kim Marshall from Swell the Agency signing off. Can't wait to get together again.